39. What's that big red bird again? Having a large international birding website, it's hardly surprising that I get asked for ID help from around the globe. While the right response probably ought to be, how the hell would I know, what I usually ask is, where are you? The thing is that if you have a page for every country and state, and people mostly use their own page, they somehow assume that you live in the same area as they do. I don't always need to establish the location. For example, when somebody emails, there's a big pink and blue bird in the garden, I've never seen one before, what is it? I say, is it bigger than a blackbird with a streaky head? The thing is, I've already figured out that they will affirm, as believe it or not, that's the classic description of a jay if you don't bird. Yeah, I guess it is sort of pink. But the tiny blue wing flash looms very large in a non-birder's eyes. It's one of those questions that mark out an English birder from the rest of the herd. However, more often the question will be, there's a big green bird in my yard, what is it? This is where I do need clarification, asking, where are you? I may have to add a rejoinder depending on their response. I'll say, yeah, but Victoria where? I already know there's such a town in Malta and another in the Seychelles and one in Newfoundland. I already know there's a town in Malta, another in the Seychelles and one in Newfoundland. At this point, I learn there's also one in Texas. This means I can readily jump to the conclusion that they have a green jay at their feeders, the lucky birders. Lest I become too blasé, I remind myself of one such exchange about a bird in a municipal park in the UK, which after much quizzing of the Enquirer, I still had to conclude was a blue magpie. It should have been gracing a tree in Sri Lanka, not a bush in a Midlands playground. Apart from such escapees, I've also encountered a file full of obscure photographs. They're usually rather blurred parting shots of a bird's backside, with the rest of the critter being hidden behind a branch. However, I can usually combine my experience, a pretty comprehensive field guide collection, and my acumen as a devotee of the Times Cryptic Crossword to get a handle on the avian conundrum. Sometimes my confidence is later boosted by feedback. It turns out that Jane Doe of Middletown, Montana, asks her cousin, who's workmate, knows of somebody else whose friend, chairs the local Audubon Club, and he'll drop by and confirm my ID. You can usually tell a birder from a Gentile, from a Grockle, from a Gadgee. What is the term for a non-birder? Seeing all the terms I've come across for people who are not part of the exclusive group seems to start with a G, maybe we should call them girders. The way a question is phrased is often the great divide. I don't mean that you get asked for help to tell one species from another by the length of the primaries or the colour of the fringes on the coverts. However, no bird would simply ask, what is that big brown bird? Nor would they ask about one that's the size of a crow with a bright red chest, as I was recently asked. On a bit of prodding, I found out the bird was rather smaller than first said, and it had a nice grey backside that the Enquirer could see well when it plucked berries from a hawthorn. Anyway, field fairs always seem to set out to fork girders. A birder is more likely to hazard a guess at the species and offer some help with elimination. They'll say, I know it's not a sparrowhawk as they regularly sit on our fence plucking chaffinches, so I wondered, how can I be sure it's a goshawk? Of course, we birders do sometimes get the size wrong, or even describe colour in an odd way, but we are tuned in to salient features as well. We can't help but look for eye stripes and wing bars, flight modes, and how a bird walks across our lawn. I was watching Pointless on TV the other day, and I wasn't shocked to see a cuckoo identified as a song thrush, but I was taken aback by someone not recognising a puffin. After all, they're an everyday icon that are part of our cultural landscape, regardless of any avian leanings we might have. It's not about familiarity, necessarily. With the birds that share our gardens, most people would recognise a blackbird and a bluetit, which are everyday visitors, but many of the uninitiated will probably struggle with a greattit or greenfinch, and yet they're often as familiar. Some birds are ghosts in the cultural machine. Robins grace our Christmas cards, swallows do a summer make, and grey herons and mute swans have forced themselves into our collective consciousness by virtue of their size and their even distribution. However, girders will probably also recognise bluebirds and roadrunners, thanks to American animators. What is more, most non-birders often lump whole families into one general species, such as seagulls. Even that term is a cultural marker drawing a line in the sand between birders and girders. Back at the computer face, when regaled with requests, it often becomes clear that we... No, start again. Back at the computer face, when regaled with requests, it becomes clear that we birders seem to incidentally identify much of what we see by what we call, risking giggles from American schoolboys, jizz. The overall shape, size and general presentation of a bird in everyday pursuits allows us, once we put on our birding eyes, to automatically eliminate 99.99% of species without any conscious effort. We narrow the field further with a second glance, still jizz-fueled, as the bird bounces or loops away, soars on unbending wings or rises skyward and then descends in song. Long before we start to look for eye stripes and wing bars, let alone primary projections or the fringes on the outer coverts, we recognise it as a thrush or corvid, hirundine or warbler. Only then do we plumb the bottom of our brains or flip through the pages of a field guide to narrow down which particular member of the finch family or tit troop we're watching. It may not be natural, but it certainly does become second nature long before we even buy a baseball cap in a reserve centre or smother our scopes in stickers. Many years ago, Hawkeye and I were drifting along a canal into the open waters of Caroni Swamp in Trinidad, just as dusk fell. We drifted into the mangroves as snowy egrets and tricoloured herons started to bedeck the bushes, before they were joined themselves in the roost by truly outstanding and iconic birds, hundreds of scarlet ibis. As we marvelled at the Christmas tree decorations draping every tree, a non-bird in the back of the boat whined, and not for the first time that evening, "Now then, what's that big red bird again?" Here endeth the article.